This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day as we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Hey, you've been hearing about it. It begins tomorrow, the Umpqua Fishery Enhancement Derby. We're going to kind of take a deep look, a deep dive, if you will, on what's going on. And the Derby Chair, Cameron Lawler, step up to the microphone. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, Kyle. Thanks for having us. I'm here with Logan DeGree from Logan DeGree's God Service, and we're happy to talk about this.
Well, we're going to get Logan on in a little bit, but I imagine the day before this long series of events, you're probably not getting much else done than focus on the event.
How did you know?
It's a long list. I mean, I've got 24 pages here related to what's going on. I guess at the beginning, this is the 34th annual event. What can you tell me about kind of the history of this and how it all got started?
Well, I think historically it started at the Wagon Wheel about 34 years ago. And there's about 10 to 15 people who showed up. And now we have an annual event. We've raised well over $2 million, and we have 40-plus volunteers and just an amazing amount of support from our community, from our local guides, and from people willing to volunteer and give their time to this great cause.
And to illustrate how long it's been going on, if you don't know what the Wagon Wheel is, you weren't here when it happened.
I was not here when the Wagon Wheel was hit here. I moved here 9 years ago, and that's just where this story started.
Yeah. So what was the whole idea at the front end, though? I mean, not just to do an event and have some fun, raise some money, but kind of a bigger purpose.
Well, the bigger purpose was, one, just throw a really good party to get people to come and have a good time. But the real main focus is making the Umpqua River, the South, the North, the Main, just one of the best fisheries in North America, raising money for it, getting kids involved, getting sponsors, making this river clean, and making fishing a sustainable lifestyle and practice here in Roseburg.
And in the time that I've been here, 35-plus years, you always hear about how many people come to this area from literally all over the world to fish.
Yeah, Logan, so where's the client you've had come the farthest?
Get real close to the mic there.
So I think I'm trying to figure out. I've had a couple guys from Texas come. So they came with me 2 days. We actually fished salmon, and it was actually really fun. But yeah, this fishery is just really diverse. There is a lot of different types of fishing you can do on the Main, the South, and the North.
So how did you get into being a guide?
Well, believe it or not, it started a long time ago. Some of the guys that are fishing in the Derby, I used to fish with when I was about 5-6 years old. My dad and I would come over and actually do a lot of steelhead fishing, and it just grew from there. And so when I got kind of out of college, I wanted to pursue it, and I've been doing it for about 5 years now. And I don't know. It's just always been something. I wake up in the morning, and I'm just eager to go do and get to fish for a living. So it's pretty cool.
Now, do you do that year round?
Yes, I do. I do. So I fish for about 7 different species, and 90% of my fishing is actually done here on the Umpqua. So, yeah.
Are there, I'm not going to ask you to reveal secret spots, but are there certain areas you like fishing more?
You know what? Not really. It's so seasonal, so I always look forward to like the next season. But I think one of my favorite things to do is take my Willie power boat out. It's a 24 footer. And I like to go out on the mouth of the Umpqua and troll around for salmon. It's really fun. You're fishing 4 to 6 rods, and all those salmon are out there very, very hungry. And when they bite, the fight's on, and you get to keep them and have a delicious meal at the end of the day.
So when you're out fishing on one of the areas of the Umpqua, what's the Wi-Fi like?
You know what? I can go where there is service, and I can go where there's no service. So I like it when there's no service, and I can just put my head down and go and fish and not listen to the phone buzzing all the time.
See, and when you've got a job like I do with all this technology and everything, it's really hard to walk away. But sometimes it feels pretty good.
It does. It does. And I get that feedback from clients who are like, you know what? We got to go out and see some bald eagles and catch some fish. And, you know, it's one of those things I hear a lot of, and I'm very lucky to have that.
So let's take a kind of a look, Cam, through what's going on this week. We start out with Student Day tomorrow. What happens with that?
So Student Day, we take kids up to Rock Creek. We're actively involved in rebuilding the hatchery up there. And we teach local kids about the life cycle of salmon and steelhead, everything from, you know, the amazing thing about these fish is the salmon go to the ocean, they come back, they spawn, and they die. The steelhead go to the ocean, they come back, they spawn, and they go back to the ocean, and then they come back. So we're teaching kids about the life cycles of the local resources here, and we bring them up to the hatchery. We teach them about, you know, the education from basically birth to going to the ocean to coming back and spawning and dying, and how that life cycle just repeats itself over and over again, year after year, and how important that is not only to our community, not only to the fishermen, but just to everyone in our basin as a whole, because it benefits all the businesses in town with the tourism. It brings a lot of people to town, like Logan was saying, from Texas. We've had people flying from China to go steelhead fishing. It's just an amazing resource that we have, and we need to keep it alive.
So what age group of kids do you have tomorrow?
I believe middle schoolers.
And I imagine for some of them, maybe many of them, this is a whole new experience.
It is. And one of the cool things that we partner with ODF and W on is we put rearing tanks in classrooms at local schools. So the kids actually get to hatch salmon and steelhead fry and put them into the local river system. So they really learn hands-on. We're raising fish in our classroom that are actually going to go into the river in our community and go to the ocean for hopefully someone like me and Logan to come back and catch in the future.
And it sounds like you also cover, you know, related things. It's not just going fishing, but, I mean, you've got fish species. You could talk about different kinds of fish. You've got the law enforcement aspect, the forestry aspect, things like that.
Yeah, we talk a lot about what happens when we get a massive flood or a massive blowout and how that impacts the spawning grounds and the fishery. We get ODF and W and state police talking about fishing rules and regulations so that we teach kids from a young age, like, hey, there is a government, we have these rules and regulations. And then we get local guides who teach them, like, hey, this is how you tie a good knot, this is how to read the water, this is how to go out and find local fishing spots. We're just educating them across a really wide range of everything associated with fishing on the Umpqua.
So that's student day. What about kids day on Thursday?
Kids day on Thursday is probably one of the best parts about the Derby. We get a bunch of kids from local schools. So part of being a guide and being in the Derby is donating a day to kids day. We go to Cooper Creek. They get to fish with a guide. They get a life jacket. They get to go fish some rainbow trout. So they get firsthand knowledge from the best, absolute best guides in our community about fishing and education, and then they get to go on a jet boat ride after that, which every kid loves.
And how many jet boats are you getting out there?
I think we have about 4 to 5, and then I think we get about 30 drift boats out there with guides and kids. We feed them lunch. Look, if I was 12 years old and someone said, hey, you can get out of school for an afternoon to go fish with a guide, I'd sign up for that in a heartbeat, and that's the opportunity we give to these kids.
And these kids are all focused around Eastwood Elementary, right?
Correct.
And talk about what they do at Eastwood.
Well, that's where we have some of the fish rearing projects. So we're trying to reach out to other local schools and get some of these incubators in the classrooms. But again, what they do is we work with ODF and W. We get the aquarium built. It's called an aquarium, right? Yeah. We get the aquarium built in the classroom. They get eggs. They hatch them. And then they get to raise the little fish. And then they get to go put them in the river. And again, hopefully that creates the opportunity where in a couple of years, once they've gone to the ocean, done their thing, come back, we try and catch them.
All right. Now that's going on. And then Friday and Saturday, 2 days, catch and release derby. Boy, a whole lot of people at this.
Yeah. So Friday and Saturday, we have 42 teams. And we divide them up amongst the north, the south, and the main. They can't fish the same section of the river twice. And it's just a bona fide fishing competition. We can keep the biggest hatcheries. So we look for the biggest fish and the most fish. But to qualify for the biggest fish, it has to be a hatchery.
Yes.
And also talk about catch and release. Not being a person who goes fishing, the concept of putting all that work and getting the fish and then putting it back.
I'm going to let Logan take this one.
Okay.
I'm sure there's probably, I know there's a reason for doing it, but talk about that.
So pretty much, typically how Oregon runs is that we have hatcheries in place. So the hatcheries raise the fish, we release them, we clip their adipose fin, and then, in 2 to 3 years they show back up. But then we have a rule that's set in place where there's, if we catch wild fish, we got to release them back. And a lot of the Umpqua has like a lot of wild fish in it. A lot of them go up the north, but our hatchery programs on the south. The south, another thing I want to mention is that we have a broodstock program. I participate in it as well as a couple other guys. We actually carry tanks in our boats, and they have a quota set. I think it's right around, I want to say it's 60 pairs, so it's like 120 fish that we need, and it helps. They make some of those fish into hatchery fish too, using wild genetics, and they're real bitey and hardier fish. This derby is a part of that, like about that too. And when I'm guiding outside the derby, I also participate in it. But pretty much a lot of the Umpqua is based off wild fish, and there's some big ones too around. We just release them to go spawn and make more babies so that in the next couple of years we can have them pull on our line again. And yeah, so.
Now, of these 42 teams or whatever, are these mainly local folks, or do you get people from out of the area?
You know what? Mainly a lot of them are local. So, Cam, you probably have a list of some. I can name some off the top of my head. I mean, we have like DR Johnson Lumber. We have like Pape Machinery, Cow Creek. There's so many of them to name off. I would have to have a list in front of me, which we'll probably get to here soon. But a lot of them are local-based companies. And all it is just a big effort together to just raise money for this fishery here.
All right, we're going to talk more about it when we come back to the interview of podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246, and News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249. Lars Larson coming at one. We're talking about the Umpqua Fishery Enhancement Derby. And Logan DeGree, one of the guides, also Cam Lawler, the event chair, the derby chair, with what's going on. So, Cam, you've got all these people in here that are fishing, and you've got a lot of teams. You said a lot of local companies tied to this.
Yeah, I mean, Cow Creek is big, Pape, Clint Newell, Oregon Pacific Bank, Cascade Community Credit Union, Les Schwab, D.A. Davidson. It would take me 10 minutes to list off the list of names here. AgWest, Knife River, the Loomises, Neal Company, Roseburg Disposal, Roseburg Glass. That's just touching the amount of local businesses supporting this cause.
Now, so you do that for a couple of days, but in the middle of all that, you have a big derby dinner and auction, which it sounds like a pretty incredible evening.
Yeah, so Friday night, historically, the last few years, we've had over 700 people at the fairgrounds. And we have some pretty amazing experiences to auction off. We've got tuna fishing trips, salmon fishing trips, steelhead fishing trips. We've got an African safari. We have a side-by-side that's donated. And thanks to Waldron's, we've got a lot of guns. For those of you who are looking to buy raffle tickets for guns, please come to the event. We just have an amazing amount of community support.
And I understand you make a lot of money, especially at the auction itself.
Yeah, so historically we've raised well over $2 million. And what's important about that is all the money goes back into fishing and fishing-related activities in the Umpqua River Basin. So we've done everything from stream repair, culvert repair, to get better spawning grounds, to last summer, thanks to Bimart and Clint Newell, we brought over 150 kids. They all got fishing rods. They all got tackle boxes. They got to fish with a guide for a day on the Umpqua for bass. So a lot of what we're trying to raise money for is river restoration, but also getting kids outside and getting them involved in the sport.
So then for this restoration, you've got some groups that put together projects and essentially apply? Is that how?
Yeah, so they apply to us and we give matching funds. So for example, if someone needs a $100,000 fix, which is something that would be directly related to fishery enhancement of the Umpqua, we would match 50% of that.
And so obviously you really reach out, get a lot of other people involved helping with you.
Yeah. So every year after the derby, we calculate how much we made, and then we put out an email to say, hey, here's the grants, here's how much money we have. Please come to us with projects and ideas.
And now for the derby dinner and auction, I know there's not a lot, but I'm told there's some tickets left to be part of that.
Yeah, there's about 70-ish tickets left. So if you want a ticket, contact Tina Roy at DTO or look us up on Facebook and send her a message. Again, that's Tina Roy, and that's the easiest way to get your name on the list.
And $75 for tickets or $750 for a table of 10, right?
Correct.
So, Logan, what are some of the things you want to talk about in terms of what you do being a guide and some of the things related to that?
Honestly, the Derby is one of the things I look forward to every year because I guide on the Umpqua. I make a lot of my paycheck from it. And for me, the Derby is just a way to give back. I donate a trip also. It's in the auction. But to me, just giving back and just donating a day to take out some people and meeting new people, some of these companies that come and fish with us, you just get to make a lot of good connections with it. And just taking that time. I've done it now for 5 years, and the way it's organized and the way the teams are set up and how organized from the time I get there to the time it's done is flawless. Cam and all the volunteers work really super hard to make this thing go around. And even we do have some years where the river does blow out, but they still keep going and we might not get to fish, but there's so much in this huge circle of getting things ready. It's just like hats off because it's just a really great event, and I think a lot of guides should be doing it just to give back because it's only a couple days. If you're fishing 250 days a year on the Umpqua, I think you should at least give a couple days back to it and donate some of your time. So yeah.
Now how many other places outside of Oregon have you gotten to fish?
Oh my gosh, I've guided in Alaska. I used to be, the people that know me really well know that I used to competitively bass fish a ton. So I actually went to college to compete at a collegiate level, got a scholarship. So I've been to Tennessee, South Carolina, fished all the western states for bass.
There's a college degree for that.
Yeah, there is, believe it or not. Yeah, I signed on and the rest is history. But it kind of went full circle back to here to guiding. And like I said, I just wanted to do something that I get up every morning and excited to do, and this is it. And I'm pretty excited to be a part of this. I've known about this Derby for years with some of the guides I used to fish with and be clients, for. I just talked about it and seen it, and I was like, man, that'd be kind of cool to do one day, and here we are.
So. And when you started fishing here, you didn't live here then?
I didn't. I actually came over from east over in Bend to here, and then I've fished, down in the Bay practically my entire life. We would go and set up a trailer and fish every single weekend from late August all the way till October. So I definitely have some time spent down here on the Umpquas. So, yeah.
Pretty cool. Cam, talk about making all this happen. We got a couple minutes left. Who else do you want to acknowledge or thank?
Oh, man. Matt Hill, Tina Roy, Ingrid Dunn, Coral Balzer, Chris, the Hargates, Clint Newell. There's just Neil Hummel, obviously Tom Nelson, Ron Doan, Dave Sabala, Margaret Fabrizius, Dan Holborough. The list goes on. There's 40 to 50 people who volunteer their time to make this thing happen, and it's huge. I mean, honestly, we want to thank ODF&W. We want to thank them for their support, OSP for their support. There's just a lot of moving pieces that go into making this happen, and without the volunteers and the corporate sponsorships, none of this would happen.
And it's got to be rewarding at the end of the day, end of the event, to see the impact and look down the road and be out fishing in a certain area and say, hey, that's better. This works better. You've taken care of things better because we got the funds or somebody got the funds to make it happen.
Yeah, correct. And a large part of what we've realized in the last couple of years, and again, why Logan's here, is we've received a lot of feedback from local guides on what they think is important to making this fishery sustainable. And we're listening and we're helping them with projects. So that's a big part, is we get good local guides who donate their time and they give us feedback and say, hey, here's some projects that are going to make this fishery better. And we listen and we support them.
All right. And once again, if people want to get in on the Derby, where do they go?
They go to Facebook, look up the Umpqua Enhancement Fishing Derby, contact Tina Roy, and we'll get you tickets. We'd love to see you all there. It's a great party. But at the end of the day, we raise a ton of money, and it all goes back into the Umpqua Basin.
All right, Cam Lawler and Logan DeGree, thanks for coming in today.
All right. Thank you, Kyle.
All right. 1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.